Welcome on in Philly Today podcast. I, of course, am your host, Dan Wilson. Lots to get to in the Phillies world. First of all, this week, kind of the annual Fort Myers trip, just total aside, like on spring training, which is that the Florida Gulf Coast League, the Grapefruit League, as they call it in spring training, bit of a different dynamic than what they have over in Arizona. All of the stadiums in Arizona seem to be within 45 minutes of each other. Gulf Coast League teams are all over the place. I mean, you got the Phillies in Clearwater, Blue Jays in Dunedin, you got the Yankees in Tampa, Pirates in Bradenton, Orioles in Sarasota. There's that cluster. The Braves are in Northport. You got the Red Sox and Twins. They're down in Fort Myers. And then you got some teams on the East Coast, too. I believe it's the Nationals and Astros are in Palm Beach. You have the Marlins and Cardinals in Jupiter. And then there's one other team I'm forgetting here. But basically, you have four teams on the East Coast, bunch of teams on the West Coast. Oh, Tigers in Lakeland is another team I forgot about. The Phillies obviously specialize in playing the teams in their geographical area. That is obviously where they're going to, where it specifies. The thing about spring training in Florida versus when it goes, when things go in Arizona is, in Florida, they don't play the East Coast teams, and they even hardly play the Fort Myers teams. This is the one time they went down to play Boston and Minnesota once. They came up to play once. You hardly ever get a real lineup from the team who's traveling. Then you get kind of this getaway day, off day. It's so funny. These guys will make a 6-hour trip during the regular season. I guess it's the regular season. And we'll routinely make a 2-hour bus trip up to New York, right? But the 2-hour bus trip down to Fort Myers is suddenly a hike. So I always just thought that was, what was kind of funny. Everything's all relative, I suppose. Now, where things stand in terms of this spring training, they've actually started to get back in the win column just a little bit. Number of guys have been looking pretty damn good down in Clearwater. We'll get to that in just a minute here, but I kind of wanted to. So we're now, I have not reached the point yet. We're here on March 12th where I'm sick of watching spring training games just yet. That point will come. I'm actually headed to Clearwater myself in just about a little under a week here. In little less than a week, I will be headed to Clearwater. That is, what I'm excited to go. I think after I get back, I will, I'll be ready to, I'll be ready to flip the page to the regular season. We'll be within a week. Or just outside of a week. I'll be ready. Now, of course, weather in the Northeast has been nice as of late. We all know that the rule is that opening day has to be freezing. Doesn't matter what the temperature is all of March, in the 50s and the 60s. By the time opening day rolls around, it will be 35 degrees. Those are the rules. I didn't make them. And they open up in D.C., which always they seem to play cold and rainy games there. So already anticipating some potential problems. It'll be late March, early April. That's when, rain starts to creep through the Northeast. Feels like the Phillies always have rain delay issues. They made it through all of last season. Here's a really interesting thing, without playing a doubleheader, which is kind of remarkable. Maybe we'll see if that luck can carry over into 2025. Tend to think that water, no pun intended, will find its median point there, and they'll find a way to get one of those in. But yeah, as of right now, we are looking at a season slated to begin in D.C., I believe it's Thursday, March 27th. Just really, really looking forward to that a lot. It's been nice to, I kind of view this last thing on spring training, just from a viewership standpoint, before we get into what this team is shaping up like. I feel like we all, or at least I do, live vicariously through the lens of like living in Florida for this month every season. I'm someone who likes the Northeast year round. I enjoy, you know, living in a place with four seasons. I think there's variance to it. I like snowstorms. I like the fall. I like the spring. I like the summer. This point in the winter, because winter technically extends through March 21st, so we're about to, you know, get into spring here. This portion of the winter is like when you're ready to be like, all right, like maybe if we could start spring a little bit earlier, it would hit different. Maybe if we could get down to Florida just a little bit sooner, that would hit different. I'm not looking for Florida in November or December, even January or early February. But once you see the mitts pop in, the cleats on the pavement, and you know the ball flying out of the ballpark, that's really when you know you're looking forward to it. Now this is the second year in a row, speaking of the ball flying out of the ballpark, that I believe Bryce has not homered in spring, which is interesting. I guess you could call it the contract extension curse, if you will. But that's kind of just like a funny little tidbit in regards to his power surge. Probably won't come until a little bit later in the season. I've already resigned to the fact that they're like, just the vibe around this team right now, there's no way this team doesn't come out slow and people count him out. That just feels like what's going to happen. It feels like the offense due to come out slow. Pitching will be good. Offense will let him down and people will overreact early. I've already resigned myself to that fact just being true. I'm just already there. And that's fine. You play 162 games for a reason. It's whatever. I cannot deal with the overreaction that I know is incoming, that I know people will have to this baseball team, you know. Because the last thing everyone saw was last October, and that obviously holds more weight than what we saw last April through September, I understand that there's going to be skeptics entering this season. I understand that there's going to be people who, you know, go into the year and think this is not, you know, this is not the same team we saw the past couple of seasons. Championship windows closed, X, Y, and Z. I don't think that's the. I think, to steal a line out of the Howie Roseman playbook, I think this is a team, just like you have to have patience with the Eagles offseason, I think it's necessary to have patience with the Phillies regular season. I just think that's necessary. I think this is a team that absolutely needs to get our patience till at least Memorial Day. If they always say you can't check the standings until Memorial Day. Until that happens, I don't want to hear people's, like, frankly, I just don't need to hear people's overreaction takes, is what I'll say. I don't need to listen to people say that this is why the team stinks, this is why I wasn't excited for the year, X, Y, and Z, when we all know that this is how things work. By the way, the first 2 weeks of last season, it's not like they were great either. Like, this team definitely struggled. This team definitely had its questionable moments, to say the least. And I remember Thompson, like, day after day after day, getting pestered. Hey, is this the, you know, when is this offense going to take off? And I remember him saying in the dugout one day, like, well, we know this team's going to hit. And people, that was like a soundbite that got some traction for sure. So I do trust that this team will hit eventually. They were the top, you know, a top five offense in baseball last year for a reason. Obviously, what they do in the postseason is what everyone will remember and what matters. But this is a team that absolutely needs our patience. And by the way, I don't want to see overreaction the other way either. Like, I don't want to see, if they come out of the gate, you know, 12-3, that this is a team that everyone says, oh, like, they're back. And it, like, where was this last October? That's not the way to approach the season either. That's not the way to go about this. That's not the way to say that this is This is going to be a World Series team. You need patience either way. You need a team who will span out over the course of 162. We used to do this with the Kapler teams a lot. Like, those teams just ran out of gas because, unfortunately, like, those teams didn't have the talent. I was a generally pro Kapler guy because I thought he got the most out of those teams. But the tangible flaw, more so than anything else, is that there wasn't enough manpower, particularly pitching, to get through 162. He would manage every game like it was game seven, and that would last you through July or August, and then September there was just nothing left. And Nola in September, you know, had nothing left, and it was like these guys couldn't finish the job, and so then what was once a team actually in playoff contention just falls immediately off at the end of the year. This team has more than enough manpower to do that. Now, if we look at the bullpen for just a second, I said on WIP last weekend now that one of my biggest concerns, frankly, with the team. No, my biggest concern actually is flat out what I said, more so than even the offense, is this bullpen. Looks like Matt Schramm is going to start the year on the injured list. Jose Alvarado, don't know how you can count from anything, you know, count on anything from him this season. Jordan Romano, who you're banking on turning back the clock to two seasons ago, not last year when he was hurt. Orion Kerkering, everyone seems to agree, is good. Tanner Banks, meh at best. Jose Ruiz, eh. Joe Ross and Taijuan Walker is the potential eighth spot. Like, going to be a lot of times when Rob Thompson has to go down to the bullpen in a relatively high leverage spot and go get outs from a guy that nobody trusts. And it is going to be more critical than ever that these starting pitchers can go deep into games, but also that he needs to manage their innings because they don't have a ton of depth. The sixth starter until July, before Andrew Painter's ready, is going to be Taijuan Walker. And I don't even know, you know, maybe they go to Tyler Phillips, or I'm trying to think who else could potentially, like, you know, a Tyler Phillips type guy to call up from AAA. Maybe Gabriel Rincona. No, Rincona, sorry. Who was I thinking of? It'll come to me, the name that has been pitching in spring. Rinconas has been lighting it up with the bat. But, you know, you're going to get into the weeds quick when you go down to AAA and try and pull some talent out of there. It's going to be just a little tricky. That's just how it's going to be. So that is kind of where things stand right now. Things are in a dicey spot with the bullpen, to say the least. I think everyone agrees the starting rotation is great, but you can't expect that your starter is going to give you seven innings every single day. I kind of wanted to also address, so, you know, Jack Fritz here, WIP, tweeted out his five fills he's buying most in 2025 in no particular order. And just how critical it would be. So I asked the question before I get to this list. If you could have any one guy on this Phillies team have a career year, like just put up career numbers for the Phillies this season, who would it be? I think my choice is Alec Bohm. Now, I'm not going to say easily Alec Bohm, but I think I'm pretty confident in saying Alec Bohm for a couple of reasons. Number one, if he's like, after everything that went on this offseason, trade rumors, worried about his mental state, if he were to just come to the plate this year and shut everybody up, prove that it doesn't matter, that he has the mental fortitude to deal with adversity that we didn't think he was capable of dealing with, that would be just absolutely massive. Like, absolutely massive if Alec Bohm was able to do that for this ball club. So that's my guy who I'll throw into the ring. Now, another guy, probably option number two, is who Jack had at the top of his list, which is Bryson Stott. Stott was injured last year, starting in May. But listen, Bryson Stott, even there's been a lot of leadoff talk this offseason, like who should lead off, stuff like that. I've never bought into the idea that, like, Bryson Stott, in theory, sure, is a leadoff guy, but he's never proven his ability to get on base. Schwarber gets on base way more than Stott does. Stott gets into a lot of two strike counts. I get he fouls off pitches and it looks cool. And it's a bit of a lost art, like just fouling off pitch after pitch after pitch. So the more traditional baseball fan perhaps loves that. But he does not, if you look at his on-base numbers, he does not reach first base nearly enough for that to happen. It does feel like Trey Turner is going to be the leadoff guy, at least opening day. Excited to see that change, if it sparks a difference in approach from Trey at all. And listen, if they can get a competent year out of Bryson Stott, that would be absolutely massive. Jose Alvarado is his next guy. He's another guy who this could be a make or break year for him with the Phillies. They absolutely, I just mentioned the bullpen and how concerned I am about them. If he can find a way, like if he can just find some sliver of a way to make it work this season and be that fireman where he can just get out to the middle of your lineup and he's getting excited. He is a fan favorite. Like you remember back in like 22 when he went down to AAA and he came back and everyone loved him. If he could just get the ball over the plate, like he's good. He's fine. So would be really, really cool to see if he could do it. Christopher Sanchez is a guy who finished top 10 in Cy Young voting a season ago. If he can match anything close to that, he will be, you know, he's going to surge into this team's two-starter, frankly. And I'm an Aaron Nola fan. But that's just kind of how that's going to go. Nola also, I mean, he's Mr. Durable. This guy throws, you know, he throws close to, if not exceeding 200 innings every year, it feels like. He is as durable as any pitcher in all of Major League Baseball. I don't know how anyone could not ultimately buy into him. Now, I get his playoff success has been a little up and down, but no one has probably had a larger fingerprint on the last 10 years of Phillies baseball than Aaron Nola has, and really in my adult life. So that's been pretty cool to watch. And then Max Kepler. Kepler was basically signed as, like, just be a competent left fielder. If they get anything out of him offensively, and I think certainly most people have their doubts, if they are able to get anything from him, that will be an absolute total win. He is... I'm not going to call him Austin Hayes 2.0. I think he's better than that, but if they can get anything out of him, that would be absolutely massive. So, again, the five guys on there, I believe it was, let me just go back to the tweet really quick. Bryson Stott, Jose Alvarado, Christopher Sanchez, Aaron Nola, Max Kepler. My personal submission is Alec Bohm. I'd love to hear from people where they stand on all of this. Like, if you could get one guy to just like be like, he's going to have a really, really good season, whatever that looks like, in your opinion. I said, I made the argument of a career year just for the sake of the argument, but like, who would you say? Because I think absolutely got to be Alec Bohm. JT Realmuto is another guy, asking some people around the office. I know a lot of people would love him, especially in a contract year. Kyle Schwarber, another guy kind of in a contract year, seems like he's suddenly willing to do anything to help the team, whether it's play first base, play left field a little bit more as they attempt to get certain guys such as Realmuto off their feet a little bit more. So that would be huge. So just really quick to give you this, you know, the schedule for the rest of the week here. So again, there's the Fort Myers trip. They went down and swept the Twins and the Red Sox. Off day on Wednesday, home against the Braves on Thursday. That game will be on TV. Friday in Tampa, their only night game in the spring against the Yankees, 6:35. You can hear that on WIP. Saturday, 1:05, home against the Tigers, both on TV and on WIP. And then on Sunday, they are in Sarasota taking on the Orioles. I'll be at the game next Monday against the Blue Jays, next Tuesday in Bradenton, and then only got about a week left. Their final spring training game, traditionally like any other, it feels like, getaway day against the Tampa Bay Rays, 12:35, not 1:05, 12:35 spring training game, off Tuesday the 25th, off Wednesday the 26th, and then Thursday the 27th, we get the opening day when these games actually start to count. It'll be Zach Wheeler on the mound down at Nats Park, and then against Colorado that following Monday. So thank you to everyone for tuning in to the Phillies Today podcast. Obviously, stay tuned on this page for my co-host Justin Morgenstein, Francisco Rojas. And until next time, I have been your host, Dan Wilson, counting down the days here to Phillies opening day. We're already in spring training, and we're just a little more than 2 weeks away to opening day down at Nats Park. certainly looking forward to that. So until next time, this has been the Phillies Today podcast.